Well, this evening we're going to look at one verse of scripture from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Just one verse out of the Bible, but one verse that tells a lot about who God is and about who we are and about what our need is. But the first thing that it says in this verse, I'm going to look at it one word at a time. You see this top verse? I'll read it with you. It says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And that is a loaded sentence, friends. God is real, and salvation is a real thing. Christ came into the world for a purpose, and it was a very important purpose. But the first thing I want you to notice something, it says, this is a faithful saying. Faithfulness is not that easy to find. Have you noticed that? How much unfaithfulness there is in our world? Have you noticed how many broken relationships there are? We've been unfaithful to other people. Sometimes we've broken our promises. Anybody here that's ever broken a promise, raise your hand. Yeah, right on. Yeah. You know, if I asked how many here broken 100 promises, you'd probably have to raise both hands, right? Why? Because we're not very faithful. We sometimes get a false view of ourselves about how good we are. But in reality, we're not all that good, friends. We're sinners, all of us. And if we're willing to take our place there, then there's hope. But if we're not, then we're going to find ourselves caught in a trap of self-deception that can spiral us right down into hell itself. But there's a real God, and this real God has something for us. But the first thing I want you to understand is that this real God is faithful. He is not faithless. Every promise that God makes is true. Every statement that he makes is true. There's no question whatsoever about it. It will stand the test of time. It will reveal the truth. And it will, no matter, the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. And you know what? Every man is a liar. Because if I asked you the next question, how many of you have told a lie? I think everybody would raise their hand, right? Absolutely. We're all liars. We really do sometimes try to pump ourselves up to be so good. Listen, you're not that good, and neither am I. You're a sinner. Take your place there, and there's hope. Don't, and you won't find hope. You will find yourself, as I said already, in hell. But what does the Bible say? This is a faithful saying. I was in Yellowstone National Park a number of years ago, and there's a geyser there. You know what a geyser is? It's hot water that spews up out of the ground every so often. And you know what the name of that geyser is? Old Faithful. The reason why it's called Old Faithful is that it's right on cue. You can set your clock by when it's going to go off. And as we stood there and waited, we said, okay, and the people were there, you know, tourists from all over America, and they're counting down, 9, 8, 7, 6, and sure enough, up comes the gurgle, and away it goes. But someday that geyser will stop. Someday a crowd of people will be there and Old Faithful will become unfaithful. That's what will happen. Because everything in this world is temporary. But when you step out of this world and you step into the realm of God, who is the creator of all things, he can make a statement and it will be faithful and it will be true. And it doesn't matter how many ages roll by. It doesn't matter whether there's earthquakes, fires, or floods. God is outside of time and he is absolutely faithful in every way. What does that tell us? Well, it tells us this, that if I can rest on the truth of God, if I can find the truth of God, and I can rest on the truth of God, I'm in a safe place. I'm in a secure place. Are you in that secure place tonight? Are you in a place of safety? Are you in a place of security with God? Because everything else is going to shake. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, it tells us that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. I remember being in Inuvik in the Northwest Territories with an Eskimo guy who was brought up, and you probably heard me tell you this story before, but he was brought up in the caves in Alaska. That's where he lived. He lived in caves. And that was his childhood memories. And he said he remembered coming out, and he lived among the, you know, the big mountains, right? And one day he could feel something starting to move, and he came running out of the cave and he looked. And those huge mountains were jiggling. Imagine. And so was he. And so was everything around him. And so he said, I tried to find something that I could hold on to that wasn't shaking. Was there anything that wasn't shaking? No. There was nothing that wasn't shaking. The whole shebang was shaking like that. And it was that great earthquake in Alaska, if you can remember, that caused so much destruction many years ago. And he lived through that. And he said it was a terrifying thing to find nothing to hold on to that was secure. I want you to know there is something faithful, something solid that you can hold on to that is secure in this changing world. Everything is changing, and everything will continue to change. But I want you to know there's an unshakable foundation, and it has been set by God. And he said that in the book of Hebrews, that we have a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Praise God. An unshakable kingdom. Do you know how quickly you're going through this world? Have you ever said how fast the time is going by? Have you looked in the mirror lately and saw how old you're getting? You bunch of old timers here. How easily years just poof and they're gone. I can't believe I'm 60. I mean, what have I got? You know, the best part is over in terms of length of days, but not the best part in terms of walking with God. Because I'm walking on an unshakable foundation, even as everything else is shaking around me. Even myself. One of these days, I'll be shaking if I live that long. I'm walking on an unshakable foundation. Are you? Are you standing on a solid ground? Do you have a rock that is secure, that no matter what happens, even if your health fails, even if death is looming at your door, can you say, I am on an unshakable foundation all the way through? Man, I'm telling you, it's awesome to be in that place. And it's not because one person is better than another. It's because we have a faithful saying. We have a faithful statement here tonight that if you take this into your soul, you will discover that it's worthy of all acceptance. It's worthy of all acceptance. It's worthy to be accepted by everyone, everywhere. It's worthy to be accepted by you tonight. I don't know if somebody told you there was $1 million just a half a mile down the road and all you had to do was go down there and pick it up. And if you knew it was absolutely true, I'd have nobody left to preach to. Well, maybe. It'd be quite a test, wouldn't it? First come, first serve, right? Wow, I'm gone. I can hear him anytime. That millions or half millions waiting for me. But I'll tell you, this is richer. This is better. This is worthy of all acceptance. This is good for anybody in any age. It's good for the young. It's good for the old. It's good for the in-between. It's good for the well. It's good for the sick. It's good for anyone. Doesn't matter. It's good for the preacher. It's good for the prostitute. It's good for the drunkard, and it's good for the sober. It's good for anybody. Everybody needs an unshakable foundation. You remember what Jesus said? He pointed to the religious leaders of his day and he said, harlots and thieves are going to get into heaven before you will. Why was that? What's that? Why would they believe more than the preachers would? I mean, there were preachers. He was pointing to the preachers, the ministers, and he was saying, you guys aren't going to get in, but those thieves and those harlots over there, those whores are going to get in before you will. They knew they were sinners. That's right. They knew they were sinners. If you don't know you're a sinner, you're not going to look for a savior. If you don't know. If you're spiraling and you're going down into the flames of hell and you don't know about it, you'll carry on. When people were on the Titanic and it was sailing along and all the people were in it and they didn't know the iceberg was in front of them, what were they doing? They were partying on. Everything was fine. Everything was wonderful. Was it fine? No, it was absolute disaster was coming their way, but they were completely oblivious to it. So when that iceberg struck, there was total pandemonium. They didn't know. They had no idea. Well, I want to tell you something tonight. Nobody in this room can say, I didn't know. Nobody can say, I don't know. I didn't know anything. Nobody told me. I want to be faithful to your souls and say tonight that there is a storm coming. There's a greater judgment. There's something far greater than every disaster that has ever come into your experience in life. Something deeper, something more hard than anything you can imagine. And that is the very judgment of Almighty God in the presence of God Almighty. to be lost for eternity, to land in hell instead of heaven. But all the while, there's a Savior standing on the road. On that broad road that leads to destruction, there's a Savior standing, and he sends his servants to stand on the road and to call the people and say, listen, there's a way out of this one. Judgment's coming. The iceberg's going to get hit. Death's door is waiting. It's pointed on the men wants to die, and then the Bible says after death comes the judgment. What can I do about it? What can I do? What must I do then to be saved? And all the while we can say, look, put your trust, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. This is a faithful saying and is worthy to be accepted by all. It is worthwhile to be accepted. And what is this saying? It's this. It's simple. That Christ Jesus, who is that? Who is Christ Jesus?
The Savior.
Huh? He's a Savior.
Son of God.
Okay. He was God in the flesh. That's why he has the right to save, because he was the creator of the human race, and he left heaven and came down here and became one of us to rescue us. That Christ Jesus, that is the Messiah, God who saves, came into the world for a purpose. And what was the purpose?
To save us from our sins.
Save sinners. He came to save sinners. Isn't that great? Okay, listen, if you're not a sinner tonight, this doesn't apply to you. Okay? You're not a sinner, go to sleep. All right? Because it doesn't apply. Right? But if you are a sinner, then here's the faithful saying that's worthy of all acceptance to be completely taken into your very soul, is that Jesus Christ came into the world to save you. Never mind everybody else. You need saving. You need your soul to be rescued. You need your sins forgiven. Can I ask you a simple question tonight? Are all your sins paid for and forgiven?
Yes.
Some of you are saying yes. Some of you don't know yet. Are they all paid for? Well, I want you to know somebody went to the cross to make that payment for your sins. But if you don't accept that, then you don't get it. I don't, you know, if it was Christmas time and I came to you and I said, I got a gift for you. And I offered you the gift. And you said, no, don't want it. Well, would you have the gift?
No.
You turned it down, right? Well, I want you to know that Jesus is continually offering the gift of eternal life, the gift of the full pardon for all your sins, to be able to look back on your life, and some of us got a messy life, and I'm one of them, and look back on my life and say, forgiven, stamped on it by Jesus Christ himself, by the Son of God, forgiven, paid for, paid in full by Jesus. Boy, that's a wonderful thing to have. That's a wonderful peace to have in your soul. That doesn't mean we don't suffer the consequences of what we've done. If I was a drunkard driving down the road and I run somebody over and I kill them, just because I get saved, that person doesn't come back from the dead and start walking around. I still live with the consequences of it, but the judgment for it has been taken by Jesus Christ. The payment was made at the cross. That is why the cross is so important. He came to die for our sins. It says he shall save his people from their sins. So what do I do with this? I need to accept it. It's worthy of all acceptation. And if I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, and listen, if you accept him as your Savior, he's going to change your life. If you make words and say, well, okay, I'll accept Christ. That preacher's driving me nuts. I'm going to say, yeah, I accept him. I accept him. Oh, I get that free preacher off my back. I'll be all right now. He won't be saved. This is a step of faith where you're willing to say, Lord, I'm putting my trust in Jesus. I'm not trusting in anything else. Don't trust in Pierre. Look, boy, I can't carry you very far. I can't get myself to heaven. You think I can get you there? Not a chance. But I know somebody who can get you all the way home. All the way home. I'll tell you, this is how much you need Jesus Christ. And I've used this illustration before too. But there used to be a tightrope walker that walked across Niagara Falls. You guys seen people doing that kind of stuff, right? Let's say this guy was really good at it. So he gets out on the wire. Not a problem. Waves to the crowd. Pretends he falls. Whoop. Jumps up and down. Gets over to the other side. Grabs a wheelbarrow. All the way across. Not a problem. Put some weight in the wheelbarrow. Put something on top of his head. Balances some more stuff. He goes back and forth. It's no issue for him at all. This guy's got it down pat. And there's a big crowd of people, and we're all in the crowd. And he says, how many people here believe that I can do this with a man on my back or a woman on my back? Yay, we all believe you can do it. Yeah, sure.
I wouldn't say that.
Why wouldn't you?
Well, he's not Jesus.
Yeah, but could he do it?
No.
What do you mean? Of course he could do it.
He might fail,
but, you know. Yeah, they were pretty confident. Look at all else he did. He took the weight of a man across, no problem. So, but then he says, okay, Heather, how about you?
No, I was just saying to Nora, no, I wouldn't want to be that person.
No, but you believe he could do it.
Right.
But you're not going to get up on that guy's back, are you?
No.
How about you, Morris?
No.
Anybody been here, been to Niagara Falls?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so they're on the shore. Let's say there's one person in the crowd, one person who says, I'll go. I believe you can do it. Now, that person gets on that guy's back. Tell me how many people in the crowd had faith.
One.
Only one had faith. The rest of them, like Nora, had no faith at all in that guy, right? But only one had the faith. Now, I'm talking about faith in the tightrope walker, okay? I'm giving an example here. I am not suggesting you go find somebody to get on their back and go across Niagara Falls. I wouldn't do it either, okay? But only one person in that whole crowd is the only one that get on his back. That's the only one that has faith. You see, lots of people will tell me, I believe Jesus died on the cross. I said, okay. Did he die for your sins? Oh, yeah. Are they all paid for? Gee, I don't know. Well, that's not faith, friends. Faith says, I've trusted my keeping of my soul into the hands of Jesus Christ. Now, listen, once you get on that tightrope walker's back, do you have any more say in the matter? Once he gets out on the wire, what are you going to do? As little as possible. You don't want to disturb him, right? You're just going to hang on. And your whole confidence in getting to the other side is completely in that poor person underneath you. Nobody else. Just. What's that? So what is it? Then once you make that step of faith, I want you to understand something. When you truly make a step of faith, when you truly do, because some people, they'll say that they're trusting in God, but they're not really. They're still on the shore. All they're saying is they know some things about God. Listen, does the devil know Jesus exists?
Yes.
Does he know that Christ died on the cross?
Yes.
Does he know that he died to save sinners?
Yes.
Is he saved?
No.
No. So just knowing truth about God is not going to do you one bit of good. You need to take a radical step, friends. And it's a radical step to step out and say, okay, I'm putting all my marbles on Jesus. I'm putting all my faith in him. If he can get me across, I'm okay. If he can't, I'm done. Now, can he fail? Thank God he can't fail. Thank God that he has the ability to take us all the way home to heaven. And he is faithful, friends. He is faithful and he is true. Faithful love flowing down from a thorn-covered crown. What's that?
He will not cast no assignment.
I'm sorry?
He will not cast no assignment.
Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will never cast them out. But will you come? That's the question. Will you stand on the shore and continue on? In the meantime, there's a great gap between us and heaven. And what's the problem is sin. And you could do the best you can, but you'll never make it across into heaven with your sins. They have to be paid for. And only Jesus can do that. What do I need to do then? I need to accept him. I need to accept that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. But I need to make it personal, friends. It has to be for me. Is it for you? Is it a general statement? Are you still on the shore? Or are you going to get on the back of Jesus Christ and say, okay, Lord, I'm trusting you for the salvation of my soul. I'm trusting you for the forgiveness of my sins. I'm trusting you for the power to live. I'm trusting you for everything, God. It's in your hands now. And I can tell you this, they're good hands. They're safe hands. They're powerful hands. He can transform lives. There's problems in my life. I got to put it on the hands of Jesus. I can't fix my own problems. I can't fix yours. I can't fix my own. But Jesus can fix problems. He can use me, but only as he's doing it. It's his power. It's his strength. It's him that can get us there. This Christian walk is impossible. You can't live the Christian life. Don't even try. Does that sound crazy? Instead of trying, trust. Trust Jesus to live it for you. Trust Jesus to take you over. Trust Jesus to make you a man or woman of God. Trust Jesus to deliver you from addictions and the power and the strength of other things that are not good in your life. Trust Jesus to transform you into a person that's full of love and peace and joy and patience and kindness and gentleness. Trust Jesus because he can accomplish it. He can do it. Because here's the Apostle Paul. The guy that's writing this is Paul, the preacher. Paul says, I am what? The chief of sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And you know what? If you're going to be real, you're going to be agreeing with him. Not just that he's the chief of sinners. You'll probably be ready to say, I'm the chief of sinners. No, Paul, not you, me. Right? Not you, me, Lord. I'm the chief of sinners. Do you know how bad a sinner you really are? Well, you know, I didn't rape any little child or anything, so I must be pretty good. Do you think that's going to win you any points when you stand before Almighty God and the mountain of sin that you've committed in your life is going to be there against you on the judgment day? It won't help you at all. You'll go down right into hell along with the child molesters and everybody else. You'll be with them for eternity. Is that what you want? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Listen to this. There'll be child molesters who repented and got saved and went to heaven. That's what will happen. You say, oh, that's not fair. Listen, do you know how rotten you are? Do you know that in the eyes of God, as he looks at your sin, it's just as bad as the worst sin that you can conjure up about somebody else that's committed it? Your sin will bring you into judgment. But there's one Savior that still stands by the road. And while you have breath in your body, he's calling to you. And he calls to you over and over and over. And he'll keep on calling. But there will come a day there'll be no more calling. Instead, there'll be judgment. And the same one who takes on the position of being your Savior will have to stand in front of you and be your judge. And here's what he will say. Depart from me. I don't know you. You worker of sin. That's what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7. So one little verse has enough to say to each one of us tonight that we can accept Jesus Christ, who is faithful, who is dependable. We can be saved because that's what it says. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Save from what? I asked a guy one day, I said, are you saved? Oh, yeah, I got saved. I said, well, tell me how you got saved. I was driving down the road one day, and I got in this terrible car accident, and I came out without a scratch. I got saved. He did get saved from what? He got saved from her being hurt or killed in a car accident. But did that save his soul? No. No. When he says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, he's talking about the salvation of your soul. He's talking about your eternal destiny. Are you saved? Have you been saved? If not, you can be saved tonight. That's the glory of the gospel. A man or a woman can be saved now. Matter of fact, the Bible says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. That Jesus came to save you and everything is done already. He doesn't have to get back on the cross and say, whoops, oh my goodness, I got to get back on the cross for that Joe guy. I might have missed one of his sins. No. Yeah. Why? Because he's already paid. The Bible says he died for the sins of the whole world. Did you get that? It's done for all. And yet it's sufficient for everybody, but it'll only be efficient for those who accept it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So what are you doing? What are you going to do? Are you going to take your place with the Apostle Paul and say, I'm the chief of sinners. I need to be saved. And I want to accept. I want to accept this Jesus. I want to put all my trust in him. And if you do, he'll change your life. And I'll tell you this. If you say you do and there's no change whatsoever, you're only fooling yourself. Because when you accept Christ, he comes in and his power begins to transform you from the inside out. That's God's mighty power. He's going to take you to the other side, but he's going to make you into a new person on the journey. Thank God that he can do that. Because I can say for myself, I was hopeless and absolutely helpless in my addictions and in my sins. And I met Jesus Christ in the road of life and I trusted him as my Savior and he delivered me. I didn't deliver myself. He delivered me. But if he just delivered me from my addictions, I'd be just like the guy that got rescued from the car accident. That's all I'd have. Okay, I don't drink anymore. I don't do drugs anymore. Well, that's wonderful. And it is wonderful. I don't belittle that for a second. But my soul would still be unsaved. You see? I have to go deeper. I have to go farther. Not just get Jesus so I can stop doing drinking or drugs or whatever it is in my life that I'm struggling with. I need Jesus for the salvation of my soul. And that's the great step that needs to be taken by each one. And may it happen in your life. And may it happen even tonight. Because if you do, he will not turn you away, as already been said. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful tonight for the Bible, the Word of God. We are thankful, Lord, that you are faithful, Lord, and that you are inviting us. And Lord, you're here in this room. We don't have to go up to bring you down. You're here in this very room, and you're filled with a passion and love for every soul here. No one excluded. No matter who we are or what we've done. And you've come to save us. God, don't let us be stubborn people, but let us be those who run to Jesus and fall before you and say, Lord, save me. For the Bible says, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I pray, Lord, not one will be missing when we look around heaven's halls. There won't be one of us missing, Lord. Not one that's not there because they simply did not come to a Savior who is willing to save completely. Your word says he is able to save completely to the uttermost those who come to God by Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, of being together tonight in the name of Jesus Christ.